Big Red Monday with Pickley and Murata, presented by your Valley Chevy dealers. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Arizona sports, breaking news.
You know, looking at the situation, evaluating the film, evaluating the quarterback position, I decided that Josh Rosen would be our starter going forward. Josh plays with a lot of confidence. I think he gives us the opportunity to be able to be successful.
Steve Wilks, moments ago from the Cardinals training facility here in Tempe, making the announcement that the Josh Rosen era will officially begin on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. Also went on to say that the job is Josh Rosen's to lose. So Sam Bradford's, there's a real chance, Bick, that Sam Bradford's quote-unquote legacy on the Arizona Cardinals organization will be a short and forgettable one.
What about the idea of what Adam Schefter was saying today, and that is, if you're making this decision, you really have to stick with Josh Rosen now. He is your future. According to Adam Schefter, Sam Bradford makes $312,500 per game.
In bonus.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So you could save over $4 million if you just cut him right now, according to Adam Schefter.
You'd have to keep him on the roster and make him third string.
Got it. Deactivate him.
Yes.
So that's the way you do it.
There would be ramifications if you cut him, but they could save that money. He's got to be active, is I guess the way that roster bonus works.
Vinny Joe Minutia.
No, it's just just what it is.
Well, no, but you're right. That's okay. Well, that's good. That's quality information, because nobody, even Adam Schefter, didn't seem quite certain about how you go and you affect that. But because the bottom line is, if you're not going to play him, why keep him?
Yeah, and
but you have to keep him. But wouldn't that be a little bit undignified to save a handful of money and deactivate him every week? Sam Bradford's still better than Mike Glennon, is he?
I believe so. You could do, Mike Glennon as a backup quarterback, you could do worse. I want to focus on the announcement, really. And we'll get the rationale behind
it.
Josh Rosen becoming the starter. Josh Rosen was the last of the first-round quarterbacks to make his debut. He will be the fourth one already going into week four to be named his team starter.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Sam Darnold got the keys on opening day. Josh Allen followed in week two. Baker Mayfield will get his first start in week four, just like Josh Rosen will, as they both made their debuts in week three. So Joe Flacco, the last man standing.
Yeah, but I don't even think Lamar Jackson cracks that upper tier of these guys that we're talking about. I know we keep retrofitting him into the conversation because he played before Josh Rosen did. I don't think that he's in that talent. I think it's four guys, not five. Four guys.
Yeah.
My opinion. It's the only move you can make, Vinny, because, like I said, if you deem Josh Rosen ready to come in and win a game under 5 minutes ago in the fourth quarter of a game you're losing, when your home team is when your home crowd is no longer a home crowd, when there are so many Bears fans in there that they're making and disrupting your quarterback from operating inside his own stadium, you can't take it away from him now. That's just too heavy of a commitment you just gave Josh Rosen. And to give him that commitment means you believe in him that much. And to go back to Sam Bradford based on the results of putting a rookie baptism by fire, that's not fair. That's not. People would go, you guys don't know what you're doing.
Look, I'm not going to suggest there hasn't been rookie quarterbacks in the history of the league that haven't experienced quote-unquote baptism by fire. But I think the fire was burning hotter for Josh Rosen than pretty much anybody. Nobody's done the research. It would be really hard to do to see what the game situations were when a rookie quarterback made his debut.
Yep.
It would be hard to imagine a steeper hill to climb than what Josh Rosen did. And I don't mean steep as in terms of, it was a 2-point deficit.
Yep.
But it was a winnable game. To me, that makes the hill steeper.
Yep.
As opposed to coming in and saying, in the second quarter, we're down 24. All right, Rook, go win us the game.
Yep.
Nobody expects you to do that. This was actually an attainable goal. That adds pressure to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing process. We'll get the rationale behind it, like I said, when Steve Wilks joins us in a little bit. But in case you're just joining us, that's the news. Josh Rosen will make his Cardinals starting debut at State Farm Stadium. Yeah, if you look at that, I mean, I don't think there was a decision to be made. I am a little bit surprised, as I said earlier in the show, that it was that definitive and that early in the press conference.
Yeah.
Maybe as a show of respect to Sam Bradford, you take a little bit more time, announce it going into Wednesday's practice. I don't know what I don't know what that accomplishes. It just lets it linger for a couple days.
Too many people are talking. At least now. At least now you've turned the narrative. So instead of Burns and Gambo harping for 4 hours on what is this team going to do? Are they going to mess this up the way they just messed up the game? Now everybody can turn the page and go, okay, it's Josh Rosen's job.
Yeah, I'm trying to monitor Twitter as we're having this discussion, too, because Steve Wilks is still holding court in the next room. Haven't seen anything else in terms of, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can correct me. I haven't seen anything else in terms of personnel changes.
Nope.
It is interesting to note, last week, Steve Wilks told us, look, if I thought quarterback was the one problem, I would have put Josh Rosen in against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Is this now an admission that quarterback is the main problem with this team? Does inserting Josh Rosen, we'll get answers on Sunday to some degree.
I think there'd be a lot of people who tell you the offensive coordinator is the number one problem with this team.
Kind of what I'm hitting at. I had this thought anticipating this move. If you've got a vehicle that has four bald tires on it,
yeah,
that have trouble keeping air, and you change one of them with a brand new tire, is the car going to run a little bit better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still not going to really get everything done that you need it to get done. Steve Wilks wrapping up. He'll join us momentarily. Tomorrow, Ticket Window Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Seahawks this Sunday at State Farm Stadium. Just listen at 7:15 a.m., 10:15 a.m., 12:15 p.m., and 4:15 p.m. for your chance to win.
Your exclusive home for Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
In the Red Zone with Cardinals head coach Steve Wilks. Presented by Earnhardt Hyundai and Ford Dealers. No bull since 1951.
Bickley and Murata, we continue on this Big Red Monday here from the Cardinals training facility in Tempe. And we are joined now by the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Steve Wilks. Coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Obviously, moments ago, you made the decision. Josh Rosen will start in Week 4 against Seattle. Tell us everything that went into that decision.
Well, again, as you look at the outcome of the game, very disappointed in how we finished, but most importantly, in the manner in which we did. We started fast coming out the gate, which was very impressive with 14 points. First five plays we scored. We came back, third possession right there, and scored off a takeaway from the defense, and we found ourselves up 14-0. Come out in the second half, very stagnant, couldn't get anything going. First three possessions, interception, and a fumble. And I knew right there we needed a spark, we needed a change, and I decided to go with Josh. I think Josh is more than ready for this opportunity, very confident. You look at his athleticism, his skill set, his accuracy, his arm strength, all that. We got to do a great job of, working around him, meaning everybody got to be able to do their part, protection, running the football, coming off, receivers running great routes. So he's going to have some growing pains, some bumps, but I'm very excited about what he can do moving forward.
Two things about the timing of the switch, Coach, if you would indulge me. Number one, Sam Bradford, after he fumbled, had really bad body language on the field. Was that part of your decision to make the change then?
I don't want to say that was all of it, okay. But, at that particular time, I said we needed a change.
Yeah.
And it was about 11 minutes. Just so happened they went on a 7-minute drive, and it seemed like Josh went in. Oh, he was thrown in at the last second.
Yeah. But
at that moment right there when we, lost 3 points because we're in field goal range, which could have been a difference in the game. Mm-hmm. I said we needed a change.
I think that is a important thing to delineate here, because that is a hard situation for a rookie to go in. 4:31 left, team trailing, go win us the game, son. But I would guess by design, you guys weren't thinking he was going to get his first shot at under 5.
Oh, no, not at all. Really hoping that the defense could have gone out there and got a 3 and out, and we could have went back on the field. and Josh could have let us down right there for a score. But again, as I told Josh this morning, I had no reservations for us putting him in the football game. Number one, I'm totally confident in his ability because he's confident.
Yeah.
And you got to have confidence at that at that position, and that's what he went in and he showed.
We're in the red zone with head coach Steve Wilks of the Arizona Cardinals. He'll join us every Monday during football season. When you made the decision and then talked to the players, how did Sam take the news?
Sam is a pro, you know. He's been around for a while, you know. He understands. As I said from day one when he came in, you know, Sam is our starter. And I want Josh to be able to sit and learn and grow. And it's Sam's job to lose. Mm-hmm. And that's what I said. And I sat down and I talked to him about that this morning. And he understands that, you know, we need more production out of that particular position. And he was a little disappointed, but he understands his role. And he's going to do everything he can to help Josh.
You mentioned earlier in our interview today, Coach, about the offense getting stagnant second, third quarter. And I know you used the terminology yesterday, we just stopped making plays. After watching the film after the game, was there anything more pinpointed than that that you could point to? Or?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, and I say it all the time, it starts up front on offense and defense side of the ball. Mm-hmm. Our offensive line got to come off the ball. You know, we got to do a much better job of running the football and creating, you know, separation, coming off and getting to the second level. When you look at, we only had 53 yards rushing. That's not good enough.
Your offensive coordinator is taking a lot of heat from fans, and fans have the right to express their opinions, as we all do, on the third and two play. When you look back on it, I know you said after the game that Chase Edmonds is as good of an option or something to that effect as David Johnson is. You didn't have a blocking tight end in the game at that time. It was described as a slow developing play, something out of a spread formation. Do you look back on that and go, we messed that up, David Johnson needed to be on the field? How do you feel about that one moment in time?
I would tell you this. I have total confidence in the play that was called. We worked on that play all week. As I mentioned last night, have total confidence right there in Chase. And we didn't execute, and that's the biggest thing. You know, we got penetration up front. You know, if we execute and do our job, we have what we want on the edge right there, and we pick up the first down. So, again, it's about execution. It's about detailing our work, and we didn't do it on that particular play.
Going back to the running game, and I know the blanket statement is we got to run the ball better. Going into the season, I would say that the individual personnel on the offensive line, Coach, they're known kind of as run blocking specialists. There's a lot of guys in that line that have that reputation. That being said, when you have a breakdown like you did on a big third down play, you mentioned 53 yards of running in a game that you were up for two touchdowns and up for most of the game. Where is your confidence level overall in the run blocking of your offensive line and the running game really as a whole?
I think we need to improve, and that may be an understatement, but I have confidence in those guys. They've shown the ability to do it. You know, I've seen them. And most important, we just got to be consistent in what we're doing. And, again, I'm not going to pinpoint one guy. I think as a group, we got to play better on the offensive line. We've got to do a much better job at receiver as well as running back. So when you look at the offense as a whole, everybody has their hand in this. That's why I think Josh is going to give us the spark that we need.
All right, to be up 14-0 in a game, that would seem to be where this team would flourish. And you had that moment, and then it ends, and David's got 12 carries on the game, a guy who just was signed for $39 million. In your vantage point, what explains his lack of touches, particularly in a game that seemed to be a game built to spoon-feed him once you established the lead?
Well, I think that when we're unable to create positive plays on first and second down, it puts us behind the sticks and it puts us in a situation where we have to throw the ball. So we have to do a better job on first and second down, running the ball, of course, but getting positive yardage right there. And I think when we see that, that's going to increase David touches and things where it's not really affecting the play calling.
All right, a couple guys. Now, defensively, there's really not, and I'm sure you being a defensive guy, you could probably find some nits to pick, but I thought they played very well. I thought Buddha was great. I thought Patrick was really, really good defensively. Why is it that two first-round picks, Deion Buchanan and Hassan Reddick, can't find spots in this defense?
Well, again, I have an open communication policy. Okay, and you know, I want guys to be able to come talk to me about certain things, and they do. And I'd be honest with those guys and tell them, I said, we're going to play the best 11, and right now, that's what I'm doing. And those guys got to show me that they deserve the right to be on the field. And it's nothing to the standpoint of favorites or taking things personal. I want those guys out there. They're first-round draft picks. Right. I want them to be on the football field. They have a great skill set. But again, I'm going to play the guys that have shown that they're ready to play.
Steve Wilks, the head coach of the Cardinals, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. That being said, about those two players in particular, you know, I asked you earlier about how Sam took the news. How are they dealing with this? Because those are guys that have been on the field a lot in the past.
You know what? Those guys are responding well. They haven't wavered from their approach and how they try to prepare and practice. You know, we got to find ways as coaches to be able to, you know, continue to coach and connect with them and get them out there on the field. But their responsibility is to go out there and execute their assignment. So it's hand in hand.
Going back to the end of the first half, you guys are in field goal range on a third down play. Sam took a sack all the way back to the 39-yard line. Bears didn't have any timeouts. You called a timeout there. Were you maybe tinkering with the idea of trying a long field goal with Phil, or what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, it was miscommunication. I take full responsibility for that. You know, we got to make sure that we're all on the same page. At that particular time, if we were deciding to try to take a field goal, you still don't want to leave them with no time on the clock. Mm-hmm. So I take full responsibility for that. What was communicated was something that I thought was different. And again, that's my fault.
All right, you've been in the league a long time, and you told us last week that you've got thick skin and you're ready for these kind of challenges. When you're 0-3, I don't know if belief wanes. Theoretically, I guess it can. Describe your belief and where your leadership has to steer this thing now, given the disappointment of yesterday.
Well, you can't waver. You know, and I told the guys right here, I'm putting really the focus on us. Again, Chicago, well coached, tremendous team. But I showed the guys, you know, is it really what they're doing or what we're not doing? And there's several plays that I showed this afternoon is that we're not executing. You know, we're there to make the play, but we're not finishing. And then when you look at the penalties that are coming up in critical situations that are sustaining drives, we're going to get off the field on third down, we jump offside. So, again, they're punting the football there. So, I'm not going to change. I believe in my philosophy. I believe in the vision that I've set. And I think, you know, we're going to find a way to turn it around. And it starts with me.
I mentioned how well the defense played yesterday, and I think that definitely is progress. Is there any frustration in the penalties being taken by some defensive players? And this week, obviously, Trey was the big one. Not an egregious, dirty play, but I guess by the new rules, you got to know better. Your thoughts on that?
You know, I think you're right. You have to know better. We talk about that. The way the league is right now, and I'm all for it, it's about the safety of the players, particularly the quarterbacks, and we got to understand that. So there's certain ways how we teach tackling now, particularly with the quarterbacks, and that one play right there is one of the things I talked to Trey about. You know, we got to pull up in that situation. And, again, you know, we don't get that particular play. It's third and long. All of a sudden now we off the field again, you know. So very disappointing right now. It's just self-inflicted.
All right, last thing for me about the defense. I'm just curious what you think about this. I'm not passing judgment on this, but after turnovers, the guys go into the end zone and they take pictures. And maybe it's a team-building thing. Maybe it helps their swagger. Maybe it came after that preseason when they were a ball-hawking, turnover-forcing machine. Are you cool with that?
You know, I like the guys to celebrate. I like for those guys to have their own personality. I think in certain times and places where it's warranted, you know. So I'm not one that's going to be a stickler on that, no.
Okay.
Going back to the offense real quick, Coach, wide receivers, you know, Fitz was, I don't know if he was limited yesterday by the injury. He wasn't much of a factor. I thought Christian Kirk did some good things. Outside of those two guys, though, the other receivers are really struggling to get into the flow of a game. Is your concern level growing with that at all?
No, I want to start with Christian. I think he separated himself himself yesterday, and I've been saying that for a while, that he's on the verge of really turning the corner. He had a great game yesterday. You know, we got to do a good job, again, opportunities, you know, and being able to spread the ball around. You know, late in the game, Chad came up with one. I thought Josh did a great job locating him. Again, I'm not overly concerned, all right? I am concerned about the production. Do we need more production at that position? Yes. But it starts up front with the protection and allowing the quarterbacks to be able to go through their progression.
Injury-wise, any news to report?
No, right now we're fine. And then I'll give everybody an update on Wednesday.
Sounds good. Coach, appreciate the time as always. We'll good luck against Seattle. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you. I appreciate
Thanks,
you guys.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Steve Wilks, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Big Red Monday with Bickley and Murata, presented by your Valley Chevy dealers. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
I think Josh is more than ready for this opportunity. Very confident. You look at his athleticism, his skill set, his accuracy, his arm strength, all that. We got to do a great job of, you know, working around him, meaning everybody got to be able to do their part.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Protection, running the football, coming off, receivers running great routes. So he's going to have some growing pains, some bumps, but I'm very excited about what he can do moving forward.
A little snippet of our interview with Steve Wilks, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Earlier, in case you're just tuning in, change of quarterback. It happened yesterday. That change will continue. And according to Steve Wilks, it is Josh Rosen's job to lose from this point on. He'll get the start on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. Will it mean much? We will find out. I'm not going to call this a desperation move. I think yesterday was... Somewhat, as we've kind of discussed earlier in the show, Bick, yesterday I thought was more of a desperation move. Once you go to Josh Rosen mid-game in a game-on-the-line situation, there's no going back. The only way Sam Bradford will ever take another snap for the Arizona Cardinals is if Josh Rosen gets injured. That's the reality of this situation now.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford operated with a very short leash. Josh Rosen, by virtue of being a rookie, a first-round pick, 10th overall, his leash will be very long. That might lead to a lot more growing pains before 2018 is over. That's the reality of the situation.
Well, it is, and that's kind of what we're looking at now. But I think that they successfully shifted the narrative a little bit. I think people now are like, okay, all right, now we get to see Josh Rosen, and I think people are going to grasp onto that at least for a week. They're playing the Seattle Seahawks this week, and this week they're playing an actual real quarterback. Alex Smith's a good quarterback. They faced him in week one. Jared Goff is a good quarterback, but that whole team is just loaded. Mitchell Trubisky has got a lot to learn, and he makes a lot of mistakes. Russell Wilson is going to be the kind of quarterback who can beat you single-handedly. That's what's going to make this week a little bit different, but this is going to be Josh Rosen's week now. And maybe they can spin all this stuff from yesterday into a positive, that if he was able to handle that the way he did, and I don't mean in terms of completing passes, I just mean in terms of the moment didn't seem too big for him. And I was encouraged at least by that more than anything.
I wasn't nearly as encouraged. I can very easily as argue on the other side that moment did appear too big for him. And I don't mean that as a knock or an insult.
Okay. Based on the second interception that didn't count?
Based on both.
Okay.
You need 3 points to go ahead.
So
you didn't get any points.
You saw the pressure he was under that fourth.
I'm not denying there was a ton of pressure.
Okay.
Not only the psychological pressure, the physical pressure.
I'm talking about the pressure from the pass rush.
Yes.
He had to get rid of the ball. There was no pocket there at all. I don't think that it was not a great throw, but I'm cutting Josh Rosen a little bit of slack for his performance yesterday. I am. You don't have to. I know you disagree with me on this. I'm just giving you my opinion.
Let me clarify it, okay? There's nothing that I saw yesterday from Josh Rosen that indicates everything's going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
I don't think everything's going to be okay. And I don't think it's on Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
That's my clarification. The point I made before we were joined by Steve Wilks, your car's got four flat tires that are bald. You change one of them, you're still going to have a lot of problems getting around.
It's a good point. Okay.
They need three more tires.
I need three more tires.
They need the tire of the offensive line to do its job.
Yes.
They need the tire of an offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Using the weapons that he has.
Yes.
They need the tire of the wide receivers actually, like, waving their hand and saying, hey, I'm in the game. Don't forget about me.
Right.
How can a wide receiver play 127 snaps of offensive football and have one catch? That's unfathomable.
It is unfathomable. I'm with you on that. Okay, let's address some of this other stuff that he said.
Okay.
Defending the third and two again. What do you think of that?
Well, here he was on the third and two play.
I'll tell you this. I have total confidence in the play that was called. We worked on that play all week. As I mentioned last night, I have total confidence right there in Chase. And we didn't execute, and that's the biggest thing. You know, we got penetration up front. You know, if we execute and do our job, we have what we want on the edge right there, and we pick up the first down. So, again, it's about execution. It's about detailing our work, and we didn't do it on that particular play.
You hear the phrase total confidence come up, and he's talked about total confidence in Mike McCoy in the past and total confidence in Chase Edmonds there and total confidence in the play call. That, to me, is just coach speak for I'm not throwing anybody under the bus.
Okay, yeah.
That's the way I took it.
Okay.
You saw the results. The play call's one thing, execution's one thing. You can argue that both were crappy in that instance, certainly. Based on the results, it doesn't matter what anybody tells me. If I need 2 yards and I'm running the football with the game on the line and I'm not giving it to number 31, I'm doing it wrong. I'm just doing it wrong. That, to me, doesn't indicate a lack of confidence in Chase Edmonds should he be called on in a situation later on at all. David Johnson is available.
There's no excuse for that. And that's what bothers me most about this synopsis. I don't mind him telling me that Deion Buchanan and Hassan Reddick are first-round draft picks, but they're not good enough for me. I don't mind him telling me that because that's his area of expertise. Okay? And Deion Buchanan, even though they invented a position for him, all right, go ahead, hit it, Jarrett.
I have an open communication policy, okay? And, you know, I want guys to be able to come talk to me about certain things, and they do. And I be honest with those guys and tell them, I say, we're going to play the best 11. And right now, that's what I'm doing. And those guys got to show me that they deserve the right to be on the field. And it's nothing to the standpoint of favorites or taking things personal. I want those guys out there. They're first round draft picks. Right. I want them to be on the football field. They have a great skill set. But again, I'm going to play the guys that have shown that they're ready to play.
Okay.
And on one hand, you hear a head coach say that and you're like, well, that's a healthy attitude to take. I don't care who you are. I'm going to play the best 11. You guys aren't among the best 11. You're going to sit until you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I respect that. But when you look big picture with this team, this organization, where they are, they're 0-3. There's not a lot of hope to turn this around, depending on what you believe about what Josh Rosen can provide for this team. And I hope I'm wrong. I don't think we're going to be talking. I don't think we're going to be sitting in this room on many Mondays talking about wins this year. That's just the way I feel.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
But what that attitude does, when you talk about two recent first-round draft picks, and I know it's not the goal. It's building pressure against the front office. It's building pressure against the general manager.
Yeah,
who ultimately drafted those players.
Definitely. Definitely.
Especially in the Hassan Reddick case, who
Definitely.
Was a first-round draft pick a year ago.
And as a result, then, it's probably creating a divide between the head coach and the general manager.
No, I'm not suggesting that Steve Wilks should say, okay, Hassan Reddick, you're going to play by virtue of being a first-round draft pick and putting him out there with the knowledge that he's not performing in practice. He hasn't earned this spot. I have to play him. again, Steve Wilks is making the right. If he truly believes that these guys aren't, and I have no reason to doubt that, but if he truly believes these guys aren't among the best 11, he's making the absolute 100% correct decision.
That's correct.
But it's two things butting heads against
each
other.
Yes, it is. And it's happening at a time when the GM is probably got his lowest approval rating. Well, not there's no probably about it. The lowest approval rating he's had since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, would it make Steve Keim look a lot better if Steve Wilks was playing these guys? Yeah, if they could play. Hassan Reddick has never been a productive player, which is why I was rejecting all the fawning over him when he was drafted out of Temple in the first place. Deion Buchanan has been a good player, but he's never been a bust-out NFL star. There's always been things holding back Deion Buchanan. He's overly emotional. He might be struggling with this scheme. I don't know. But he was the guy that started the season as the guy who was supposed to be responsible for making the calls. And now he can't get on the field?
Mm-hmm.
What? But to me, that's Steve Wilks' area of expertise. And the defense did get better yesterday. And Steve Wilks doesn't have a problem with those guys taking pictures in the end zone, even though it's a really bad look. I thought that was interesting. From a guy as buttoned up as he is, I was actually glad to hear that response.
But he also said there's a time for it as well. The time wasn't when you were getting your brains handed to you on a silver platter by the LA Rams. That wasn't the time.
No.
Yesterday, they were feeding off early game emotion.
That's true.
I get that. When you look in hindsight, you lost the game again.
Okay.
It looks pretty terrible. I mean, I'm not a showy guy. I'm not a fan of that in most circumstances, win or lose. But
right.
Whatever. Going back to the David Johnson thing, again, there's nothing that can be told to me that won't convince me that that was a horrible personnel decision. To me, you have third and two in a running situation. You're going to run the ball, and you have David Johnson, and he's on the sideline. To me, that's tantamount. Do you play poker at all?
No.
Texas,
I mean, I know.
Texas Hold'em.
Okay.
You're dealt pocket aces, okay?
Which is what?
Two aces.
Okay.
The flop comes out. There's an ace, a two, and a jack. And you say, "Nah, I'm going to fold." That's basically what they did. They folded that hand yesterday.
That's a good point.
Execution, yeah, you got to come out and do your job. They didn't do it. There's a magnifying glass on that decision. When you don't execute, and oh, by the way, your best offensive player wasn't on the field either.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm. What do you mean to argue with that?
No.
I can't argue with that. I'm as flummoxed as you are. I don't understand the third and two call. I can buy what he is selling about Josh Rosen better than I did at the start of the show. You could tell he was convinced that in a perfect world, he wouldn't have put Josh Rosen out there. If someone had told him after that fumble that you're going to get the ball back with under 5 minutes ago, 7 minutes from now you're going to get the ball back, I don't know if he makes that decision.
But you can't wait there either.
But you can't wait either.
You can't. And you don't expect your defense to be on the field for 7
That's
minutes
right.
there.
That's right. And that
his defense.
And that was what hurt so much out of that Trey Boston penalty.
He had another point on making that decision that I think was interesting. We can tackle that on the other side. It's Bickley and Marotta, Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Really long intro on this song.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is...
Oh, wait till it kicks in, though. You're going to want to dance.
I always want to dance.
So let's dance!
Oh! So what? So let's dance! Oh, I bet you were something before electricity.
In the tradition of this band to name their songs after lyrics that don't exist, this is Blue Monday.
Did they really do that?
It's a Big Red Monday. They did it a lot.
Because they thought it was funny?
I don't know.
That it was a thing?
Maybe it was just being ironic. I don't know. It's a Big Red Monday, but for Cardinals fans, it's a Blue Monday. Let's just call it like it is.
Yeah.
This ain't a good football team.
I started the program today by mentioning my neighbor, the incomparable Joe Winters, Vietnam veteran, Purple Heart. Great neighbor. Walked out this morning, and he had a T-shirt I gave him 12 years ago. There's a picture of a big grizzly bear with a crown on its backside, just sitting on its backside. You remember that T-shirt? Do you remember seeing that back in the
day? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got a bunch of them shipped to me after that famous In the Scream game. I gave one to my neighbor 12 years ago, and he busted out today. And I was like, man, I feel you. I feel you. And then over the weekend, courtesy of some good audio work put forth by Paul Calvisi, we learned that memorable, unforgettable, hysterical press conference from Dennis Green was actually premeditated. Did you hear any of this during the pregame show yesterday?
No.
Paul Calvisi went and talked to a lot of players who said that Dennis Green walked into the locker room before going to meet the media and told everybody, I don't want any of you bleepers talking to the media because I'm about to go in there and just lose my mind. Now, he peppered it with swear words, but they all said it. Bertrand said it. Other guys who were on the team said it. It was all premeditated. He didn't just blow up. He knew when he left the locker room.
But players still talked to the media that day, didn't they?
Well, of course they did, but I don't.
But it was all.
At that point, it didn't matter.
The importance was lessened because that was everybody's story.
At that point, there was one story, and it was Dennis Green's meltdown. Yeah.
It still didn't make any sense.
Of course it didn't. I know it didn't. But the fact that it was premeditated and not just off the cuff shooting from the hip, I was stunned to hear that.
So what's going to. I'm not saying it's necessary. I'm not even saying it's in him. We ever see anything resembling a meltdown from Steve Wilks?
You brought up a point yesterday, and I want to give voice to it right now. For a guy who's very buttoned up and serious and down to business, the cameras during the game yesterday were focusing on him quite frequently.
They seemed to be trained a little bit more on him.
Trained a little bit more on him, yeah. And you could see him in states of agitation. And at one time,
and that very well might be consistent throughout all three games. Not something I noticed in weeks one and two. Let me just preface
that's
it by
right.
saying that.
That's right. It's not the same thing, so we don't know. All we know is what we're shown. And at one time, the camera went right in on his lips, and it's almost looked like you said a naughty word, which is, you know, would be par for the course with Bruce Arians.
Look, the guy's open.
I got no problem with it. I'm not judging him. I would be saying the same thing on the sidelines. But it just showed a head coach who was I mean, you can tell he's wearing it. It's look, I can only imagine what it's like to be Steve Wilks. You know what it'd be like? It'd be like you being a talented radio host coming to Arizona and having 3 weeks of terrible shows in a row and going, I can't get my groove. And having a producer who
You're going to open the door for tweeters open.
And having a producer who didn't book you any guests. And you know what I mean?
I pooped my pants.
And then you have to wear all of that and you're like, I know I'm better than this and I just want people to love me, right? It's like the Smiths sang in Is It Now?
How soon is now?
Now that
you got to bone up on. If you're going to talk about the Smiths, you got to bone up on your Smiths.
I don't know them that well. I don't know them that well. Okay, sorry, but you know what it is. I'm human, and I need to be loved. Want to be loved? What is it?
Need to be loved.
Just like everybody else does. Steve Wilks is no different than Morrissey. What's his first name?
Stephen Patrick Morrissey.
I can't believe I remembered that.
Man, you're bringing up a lot of Morrissey lately.
Steve Wilks, Steve Morrissey.
Oh.
Robert Fresco. So yeah, it's just a mess, man. It's poor Wolf. He couldn't even get his bearings this morning.
Yeah. Well, let me say this in closing today, and a lot of good stuff today.
Yeah.
From the callers, from the tweeters,
from you, Vinny.
I think we had a lot of different angles to go to today as well. You said last week the Cardinals have one chip of optimism left. Now we know that chip has been played.
Yep.
Josh Rosen will start.
Yep.
Does that do anything for your optimism?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. For the football team this year? No. No, I don't think they're going to rattle off 7 wins in a row.
Yeah, but I
like Josh Rosen a lot, and I can't wait to watch him play football.
We can't sit here in this microwave society and say, "Oh, I can't wait for the 2022 season from Josh Rosen."
You know
he's going to be an All-Pro.
You know me, I don't believe in the future.
I want results.
I don't believe in the future. It doesn't exist.
The future doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist
because we all might get hit by buses today.
That's exactly right. You might think you have tomorrow, you know?
But what's that old proverb? In the future. What does that mean?
Apollo Creed said it best.
I don't believe the future doesn't. The future is a concept, Jarrett. It's an idea. It doesn't exist.
There is no tomorrow.
You are assuming that you are going to wake up tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow.
And there will be a world and a sunrise and a job to go to and a roast beef sandwich to eat during the show. You assume all of that. You don't know any of that's going to happen. The future is an illusion. The past cannot be changed.
And now is a gift, and that's why they call it the present.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Wolf did a great thing. He freelanced last Friday.
So knowing there's no guarantee of tomorrow, why are you optimistic?
Because I want to see Josh Rosen play quarterback. I don't.
You might not wake up tomorrow.
That's true. That's exactly true. I might not. But I do know that if there is a next Sunday, Josh Rosen's playing football. He's starting against the Seahawks. And that, to me, is better than the alternative. I actually feel bad for Sam Bradford. I think he was taken out of the game.
Well, I thought it was
at a
really,
bad point. I think he actually he was coming off one of his better passes of the day.
One of the interesting things that Steve Wilks said when you asked him the question, did the body language of Sam Bradford after the fumble when Max stripped him, he's face down on the turf with both of his hands on his helmet. Everybody thought he was hurt because of the length of time he stayed down there. Did that affect you? Do you have that cut, Jarrett?
Sam Bradford, after he fumbled, had really bad body language on the field. Was that part of your decision to make the change then?
I don't want to say that was all of it, okay. But, you know, at that particular time, I said we needed a change.
Yeah.
And it was about 11 minutes. You know, just so happened they went on a 7-minute drive, and it seemed like Josh went in. He was thrown in at the last second.
Yeah.
But at that moment right there when we, you know, lost 3 points because we're in field goal range, which could have been a difference in the game. Mm-hmm. I say we needed a change.
Yeah, admitting that the body language did have a part to play.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford looked like a broken quarterback at that time.
Yeah, he kind of did. Oh, my quarterback.
So
he's broken.
And I still, overall, still don't like the timing of it. I think it's a hellacious thing to put on a rookie quarterback in that situation.
But that wasn't the intent.
It makes a little bit more sense.
That wasn't the
intent. After hearing that, it makes a little bit more sense. Thanks to Steve Wilks for joining us today. Thanks to all of our callers and tweeters. Great job bringing it today. Thanks to the Cardinals for having us out here as we do every Monday. Appreciate that as well. Don't go anywhere. The reaction continues.
George Foster, Steve Wilks, Jamal Wilks, John Wilkes Booth. See ya.
You had to get it in under the wire, right? Burns and Gambo are up next as Big Red Monday rolls on here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you tomorrow.